Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life. The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. How are you?
Boker Tov, I've been thinking about what we're going to talk today. Talk about today with the headlines filled with Facebook and WhatsApp, and you know that's really what the world seems to be concerned about. This whole outage, $50 billion wiped off Facebook's Facebook's market cap, and apparently Mark Zuckerberg has had $7 billion wiped off his own personal net wealth in less than 12 hours. It's like talking about the reduction in GDP of a small country.
Yeah, so we were talking about it earlier. I was talking about it with our listeners earlier, and I was saying, you know, he went, I think, from the beginning of September, he's lost quite a bit of value. And I think that's from something like $140 billion worth down to $120 billion. And you just, well, you know, with those numbers, does it make any difference, or is it all just about ego and where you sit on the list of the world's richest? Does it make a difference?
We're not concerned about where his next meal is coming from, right?
No, and especially because it doesn't look like he eats much, which is just so disappointing.
But there still is quite a lot of stuff going on. I mean, the other, you know, story in the news is these so-called Pandora Papers. I don't know if you guys about the Pandora's box being opened. And I think a lot of it is, well, first of all, more than 500 Israeli names in these Pandora Papers. Not necessarily anybody doing anything wrong. And I think that that's the issue, that this is really about just naming and shaming more than the fact that people have actually done anything wrong. But I think the one person who's really come out looking a little like he's got egg on his face is the King of Jordan.
Yeah, that seems to be the one that a lot of the press are focusing on, and not only in Israel, but around the world. That one seems to have caught everybody's imagination.
Yeah, he looks like he's got egg on his face because transpires that he's got all of these homes in Ascot in London and apartments in London, Ascot in the UK and apartments in London and homes in the United States. And of course, he's the one who continuously goes off to the US with cap in hand, trying to get more and more funding from the US administration, and whose own home economy is pretty much bankrupt. And a lot of this money seems to be coming from the US government in order to fund the Jordanian economy. And lo and behold, we understand that it seems to us, at least, that much of this money is not going into the economy, but rather going into the king's personal economy. Then, of course, these statements coming out saying, well, there's nothing wrong here because the King of Jordan is not required to pay tax anyway. Good for him.
Yeah, that's nice if you can get that position. But either way, it's very, very interesting. The other story that I wanted to chat to you about yesterday, but we ran out of time, was this assassination attempt in Cyprus. Iran involved with it. What is the story?
So the story originally came out talking about Israeli businessman Teddy Sagi, who is apparently sixth richest in Israel, is a man who made much of his money through his starting out this company called Playtech, which is a gaming company, and he's done very well. And the company was always based, had a very, very strong base in Cyprus, in order to get it offshore from Israel, and in order to, Cyprus actually is quite an interesting base for companies to establish themselves in order to make sure that they are not subject to the certain criteria, certain controls that are put on companies around the world, particularly those that are doing gaming international gaming, which of course is very, very controversial, has a certain controversy. Teddy Sugg is a man who made much of his money by setting up these companies, and then he went on to acquire Camden Lock in London, as you do. I don't know who, whether our listeners would be familiar with what Camden Lock is, but this is owned by Israeli businessman Teddy Sagi, and he was apparently initially, as the story goes, he was the target of an assassination attempt while in Cyprus, and initially it was kind of set out as almost like something that is connected to his business. Eastern hitmen who were crossing from northern Cyprus to, which is the Turkish controlled Cyprus area of Cyprus, to the southern area of Cyprus controlled by the Greek side of Cyprus, and that these hitmen were crossing backwards and forwards in, I don't know what kind of vehicles they were traveling in. It was all very, very cloak and dagger, smoke and mirrors, all of this stuff. Today, actually, Teddy Sagi, I heard him on the radio saying that he had no idea that any of this was going on at all while it was happening. He hadn't been contacted by anybody about all of this. But according to the way that the story went, the Secret Service in Cyprus intervened. They managed to arrest some of these people who were traveling backwards and forwards and who looked very suspicious. Now it seems that even the Israeli Secret Service were involved, and that it might well have been a plot by Iran to try somehow to revenge some of the things that Israel is reported to have carried out against Iranian nuclear scientists, people involved with the nuclear program. There is a whole list of people who were assassinated, some very, very high profile, others not so high profile, but seem to have just disappeared off the scene, and that this plot that was going down in Cyprus might well have been related to the whole Iran-Israel backwards and forwards that's been happening, and that now the latest story suggests that it wasn't even really Teddy Sagi himself who was involved, but potentially some other Israeli businessmen who have an office in the same location, in the same office building in Nicosia that Teddy Sagi has his offices in. So he was apparently completely unfazed by any of this, even had no idea that it was going on when it went on. He went into Cyprus. He claims that he left Cyprus according to his schedule, that nothing was changed, that everything happened according to the way that it had originally been planned, that he hadn't been contacted even by any of the intelligence services, the secret services that were reputed to have been involved in intercepting these would-be assassins. Now, the latest is that actually Prime Minister Naftali Bennett was the one who made a comment saying that Iran has been the country that was behind the so-called plot to assassinate Israeli business billionaires in Cyprus. The Secret Service suggesting that maybe it wasn't Teddy Sagi himself, but perhaps others. And who knows whether Iran were really actually even behind all of this. Originally, it was set up as being sort of criminal related to his business more than anything else. Now, it seems it may well have been something that Iran was behind. But I don't know that we're really going to find out exactly what the story is. I guess that if the words are coming out as a statement from Naftali Bennett's media advisor, there must surely be something to the story.
It's such a strange story, and the fact that it would be taking place in Cyprus and another country, also just so interesting. And I wish we would be able to get more information, but I'd somehow doubt it.
Yeah, it does kind of tie in with the modus operandi of Iran. We know that Iranians have been involved in assassinating key Israelis abroad before. They've been involved in this whole a story where Israeli tourists were killed in Bulgaria. So it is somewhat consistent with Iran's modus operandi. We do know that Iran has certainly got some revenge on their plate that they wish to carry out. They have certainly got some stuff that they need to straighten out. We know that Iran likes to set the record straight. Up until now, they really have got a very, very heavy balance sheet to sort out, where Israel has been involved supposedly in assassinating more than one or two minor people in Iran.
Absolutely. An operation was launched recently to try and gather more information about missing Israeli navigator Ron Arad. What are some of the details of the story?
So for people who are not familiar with the Ron Arad story, just a very, very quick recap. Ron Arad was captured in 1986. He was an Israeli Air Force navigator who went out on a mission with pilot Yishai Aviram. They dropped a phantom bomb, which apparently exploded prematurely, which caused damage to their aircraft, which forced both of those crewmen to eject. Now, this was over Lebanon, and Aviram, the pilot, was located by an Israeli Cobra helicopter a few hours later. The story goes that he escaped by clinging to one of the landing skids of the helicopter as it flew away under very, very heavy enemy fire. Unfortunately, Ron Arad was not so fortunate. He was captured by the Lebanese Amal militia. He was taken to Beirut. He was then held for many years by Mustafa Dirani, who was head of Amal. There was then stories about him being transferred to Hezbollah when Dirani defected himself to become a member of Hezbollah. Dirani afterwards, along with Abdel Karim Obeid, were actually captured by Israelis, held in Israeli prison in order to try and establish what happened to Ron Arad. There was a commission of inquiry, a secret commission that was set up under the head of under the leadership of Major General Aaron Zevi Farkash to determine what happened to Ron Arad. That commission determined that Ron Arad died probably between 1995 to 90 to 95. They couldn't tell exactly when it happened, but it seems as if that Ron Arad died around the 95 to 97 time period. That is the history of Ron Arad. We've never really been able to determine exactly what happened, whether he died because he was ill, whether he died because he tried to escape and was killed in the process. But the word on the ground, the current view, is that Ron Arad is no longer alive, even though former Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu did say that we would be treating the situation as if that Ron Arad was still alive and trying to rescue him, trying to get information about him, at least trying to bring him home. The latest is apparently that Prime Minister Naftali Bennett, during the month of September, did authorize a Mossad operation to try to get more information about what happened to Ron Arad, and particularly to try to bring his remains home if indeed he is no longer alive. The Mossad chief, David Barnea, actually spoke about the secret operation, and he said, unfortunately, that the efforts failed. The operation, in David Barnea's words, the operation failed. It was bold, it was brave, it was complex, but it failed. Naftali Bennett went on to say that their operation didn't fail, that it succeeded in producing certain information, which was very, very important, but that ultimately, unfortunately, we were not able to bring home Ron Arad, which would ultimately be the success of any operation that was would be launched in this regard. Naftali Bennett went on to say that this goes to show that the state of Israel values people, soldiers, dead or alive, and will continue to do whatever we possibly can to bring them home, whether it be alive or whether it be, unfortunately, their remains. It's equally as important for those soldiers to ultimately come home.